All right, so this is a kind of an off-the-cuff episode of the IVMV podcast. No music or anything like that. We've been battling internet and connectivity issues. I'm in Arizona right now. And by the way, I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey. And joining me, the other two hosts with tonight with fully reliable internet. So congratulations, hey, guys.
Hi, it's Andy. What's up?
And Kurt with mostly reliable internet.
So
I do have Mediacom, so I don't know if I can call it fully reliable.
Right, right. So we're not broadcasting this live, and so all of you just missed out on the Pokemon talk. So you missed out on that.
There's no way to duplicate it, so we're going to just have to move into Cubs talk.
Yeah, so I am in Phoenix, and so if you live in this area, Phoenix, Mesa, Tempe, I'm meeting a few listeners at the Arizona Rookie League game on Monday in Mesa. So I'm not sure if that game is at Sloan or if it's at a backfield, but it's their last game of the season. And it should be fun. I'm looking forward to watching some youngsters play baseball. Out here in the sun. So if you're in the area, then come hang out with us. It should be a good time. So, Kurt, before we get into the Dodger series, which is not wrapped up, we should mention that. We're recording this during the third game of the series, the Sunday night game. So I guess we can't – basically anything we talk about could be outdated. Actually, it could be outdated before we even talk. So –
Well, we're so good at making predictions that, right. I mean, that should make up for it.
Right. So, Kurt, where do we stand right now? What's the magic number?
Magic number is 20. Keeps going down. That's the good news. The lead is still safely at 14.5 over the Cardinals, pending today's action. They're 82-46. So I think we're doing all right as far as the playoff predictions. I didn't look them up, but I imagine they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 100% right. To make the playoffs.
They're 100% in my heart.
Yeah, it would be pretty. Let's not even go there. They're 100% to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Cardinals aren't even.
So at this point,
it's not like the Cardinals are putting up a fight. You know, the Cardinals are just puttering along. Well, they're
trying to sneak into that. They're trying to sneak into that second wild card spot, but
right.
Hopefully they don't.
But winning the division, I think that's all we can hope. You know, that's all we can to look at, and whatever the Cardinals do, that's what they do. I'm not, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was kind of nervous about the idea of facing the Cardinals in the playoffs, but I don't know anymore that, like, I've tried watching them a little bit, and they are just not a real sharp team, and I don't think they don't concern me like they did a couple weeks ago. Of course, in 3 days that could totally change. But
yeah, well, I mean, once everything goes back to zero and the playoffs start, I think things can change pretty quickly. But yeah, at this point, I think the Cubs are looking just fine.
Well, just on paper, the Cubs team is, I think, significantly stronger than the Cardinals. So
for sure.
Well, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. As the magic number, it's getting smaller and smaller. I think, you know, Cubs fans are starting to feel a little more comfortable with thinking about the postseason and planning for the postseason. And I think that SeatGeek is the best way to get your last-minute tickets to the division-clinching game. It could happen in Chicago, could happen in the road, could happen in St. Louis. I think I'm actually going to, if it happens where it's going to, if it looks like it's going to happen in St. Louis, I think I'm going to try to get tickets on SeatGeek to go down there and to watch that, because that would be kind of fun to watch them clinch it at Busch Stadium. But and also, you know, ticket prices might relax a little bit in the September games once the Cubs have things locked up, and SeatGeek will help you get the best deal out there. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all of the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal out there. SeatGeek does all the work. They save you time and money, and they want to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, go to or download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, I-V-Y in all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So before we talk about this Dodger series, outside of Kyle Schwarber, it would be nice to see this team at full strength down the stretch. Just to give everybody some rest and a few days off. Andy, where do we stand right now with injuries and players making their way back to the team?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Lackey, of course, is on the DL with a shoulder strain. Could be ready once they face the Brewers in early September. In the meantime, Montgomery has done a pretty good job filling in for Lackey in the rotation. So I would imagine that they're not going to rush him back until he's absolutely ready. Because they have Montgomery in place. Cahill is waiting in the wings too if they need him, so they can afford to kind of let the convalescence happen with Lackey. A couple other notes. Coughlin is working his way back in Iowa. He's been playing lately, as well as Tommy La Stella. So those are guys that are probably close to ready. Pedro Strop, we haven't heard too much since his Instagram picture of him running on a treadmill. He's still projected to be back in late September, possibly. It seems like just because of that Instagram update that maybe his healing process is going a little bit better than planned. So hopefully late September he'll be there to help the Cubs in the playoffs. That'd be great. Hector Rondon also had that right triceps injury. And as far as I know, he still was supposed to be back in early September. He was expected to start throwing bullpen sessions in late August. I haven't heard much on whether or not that's happening. So hopefully he's still on track, but don't know a whole lot there.
Yeah, and that's where I just, like I said, I think that taking a little bit of pressure off some of the bullpen and then just getting those guys in there, getting their feet under them as they kind of head into the postseason. It'd be nice. You hate to see somebody come back. You hate to see like Strope or Rondon come back for like two appearances. It'd just be nice to see him get some solid appearances and then go. Well, I want to, as far as the Dodgers series go, I want to just start things off by saying not only is it a pleasure to listen to Vin Scully call Cubs games for the last time. I mean, he sat in for like an inning or something today. I listened to that. But I've been listening to the Dodgers broadcasts of these games, and it is so nice to hear a broadcast of a baseball game and to hear it uninterrupted by all of these built-in advertisements that's in the Cubs broadcast. And I mean, it just, you listen to a game without that stuff, and it really is such a better experience. We've talked about it a lot this year, but it really is a stark difference when you listen to a broadcast without all those interruptions and all those advertisements. And I think it's really disappointing that's what the Cubs broadcast is now. And I think it just really cheapens the listening experience. And I think it sounds kind of trashy. And seriously, I honestly think that damages the historical and traditional vibe of the Cubs more than video boards or any other change that we've seen the last few years or will see in the near future.
And it's sad because we kind of got accustomed to dealing with it, kind of like a panda gets accustomed to being in a zoo or something like that, I think.
Yeah, so, seriously.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like hearing that and all of a sudden we see what's outside of the bars of our cage.
Look at all that bamboo out there. I just want to go eat it.
Oh, I love a good stock of Vin Scully to bamboo.
But I'm totally with you. I mean, it's kind of amazing to hear probably the best of our lifetime who's right. ever done it.
Right.
Hear him do it, and his ability to do it by himself, and you know, tell a story in the middle of calling the game and not leave you hanging. Mm-hmm. You always know what the score is, what the count is, and that I don't know. He's just incredible. Probably don't need to convince anybody of that. But yeah, I'm totally on board with what you're saying. Like, flipping over to the Cubs radio broadcast and having to hear fans don't strike out and all that kind of stuff.
It's
excruciating. It's like,
right. And it's even, I mean, we kind of focus on the fans won't strike out thing, but I mean, you know, what isn't like the second inning is brought to you by this and every pitcher changed the, how about this? Like if you guys heard it, like at the beginning of the broadcast, when Pat talks about how the lights in the stadium are brought to you by, like,
oh my God.
They have a sponsor mm-hmm. for the fact that the field is lit up. And it's not like, oh, actually, I mean, he does it at away games. It's not like, oh, these lights at Wrigley are, you know, sponsored by whoever. No, it's like, just in general, baseball fields being lit is brought to you by.
Yeah. And even his signature uniform descriptions are now sponsored. So
yeah. And it cheapens them, doesn't it? It doesn't sound the same.
No, he hates it.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Jason from New Mexico would have loved. Loves. I know when you can hear Pat chewing on air. I could hear that in yesterday's game, and I was thinking, like, this mouthful is brought to you by Big League Chew, or I don't know, something.
Well, if audio quality bothers Jason, which I know that it does, he probably hasn't even made it to you mentioning him, because the audio quality on this episode from my end, I'm telling you guys, it's pretty rough. But so if this is your first time listening, this is not at all what our normal episodes sound like. I'm on the road, so and I'm using that new piece of equipment that I talked about in the last episode, and I don't really know what I'm doing, so it could be even worse than I think. But yeah, it's been such a pleasure to, and I do flip over and listen to Vin Scully from time to time, call Dodgers games, but it's really nice to hear him call, games that the Cubs are involved in. And it's sad that we're not going to get to hear that anymore. And, I don't know. It's just, I really hope that the Cubs broadcast, I hope they kind of figure something out. Now, I think we kind of talked about this at the weekend at the lake. Lauren, I think, said that, like, she's kind of been like tweeting at companies, like, I'm not going to purchase your product because you advertise and break up the games like you do. And I don't know. I mean, with the age of social media and consumer, empowerment through social media, maybe something like that isn't, I don't know. I don't really know any other way that we as fans can stop it from happening.
What about this? Like, would you guys be willing to, even coming back from commercial, hear Pat saying, like, this inning is brought to you by blah, 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 and then there's no further advertisements?
Right. Yeah. That'd be just fine with me.
Yeah. I'm fine with a few here and there. It's just that they're constant, and then when they interrupt the game action, I think those are the worst.
Yeah. Yep. So let's talk about positives, since we have griped about the broadcast for the 400th time this year. How about Chris Bryant? My goodness. We kind of talked last week, like, yeah, he's kind of maybe creeping ahead of Rizzo in my book for the MVP, and now I'm just like, yep, I don't even think it's much of a competition. But I looked back to see what Zips and Steamer projected for Bryant this year. They projected him to be worth about 5.5 WAR. He's at 7.3 right now, and that's with like 5 weeks left to play. He was projected to hit 263 this season. I know Saturday morning when I looked, he was hitting 303, which is 40 points higher than he was projected. Let's see, he was projected to hit 29 home runs. What's he have now? 35, I think. I think he has
35, and that ties him for the National League lead with Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
Because Arenado went deep today, so he did have the lead, but now he's tied.
It's just been such a pleasure to watch him this season, and I think he's kind of had that label of being or that tag of being a strikeout guy, And his strikeout rate has dropped 8.5% this season compared to last season. And it is just incredible to watch a guy that is that young and still has good plate discipline, can take quality at bats, can do all of the things that you would expect a power hitter to do, but then also have the willingness to play wherever Joe wants him, whether it's third, left field, first base. Yeah. I mean, heck, he even played center field at one point. Yeah, he played center field at one point. And then another thing that's really impressive is to see him make the tweaks and adjustments. If you look at his performance last season as a rookie, he was really good and you know, obviously good enough to win Rookie of the Year. Yet he was willing to adjust his swing to level it out just a bit. And I think that that adjustment has resulted in more home runs this year, more line drives and doubles. And I find myself taking him for granted sometimes. And at least, you know, here in the first game of this Dodgers series, it was kind of like, just kind of like a reality check or a slap in the face to like actually look at what he's doing and really appreciate it. But this team just has so many weapons that it's easy to get distracted by other guys.
And I think this is a little weird to say, but like, if you can, you know, hit over 335 home runs, he's going to do it as quietly as possible. Like, yeah. He's not flying under the radar. I'm not trying to make that argument, but he's just so relaxed and so quiet. He doesn't make a big fuss about anything. And I think that's part of why he maybe might slip a little in the MVP. I don't think he's going to miss out on anything in the MVP, but, you know, we were having that Rizzo versus Bryant conversation. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it, but I love it. Like that he just sort of does his thing, and he doesn't even like to take a curtain call. Like he hits three home runs in a game. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to stay here.
I wish he...
Today he's 2-for-3 with a walk. So his average sits at 305 right now.
If there's one thing that his game is lacking, it's bat flip ability. I mean, it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, if he hits 40 home runs, he's just going to flip that thing like 100 feet in the air and do his trot.
But I mean, yeah, he pretty much sets the bat down right away and gets going on his trot. But I don't know if you noticed the little sparkle in his eye. he gives a little extra sparkle after he hits a homer.
They have to put a filter on the lenses of the TV cameras so that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the little glare and everything.
Sparkle filter.
Yeah, the Brian sparkle.
Lo-fi. Hefe.
people think it's some sort of Snapchat thing, but no, that's the real deal.
It's the way he is.
What are they talking about? Is that Snapchat? Or is that like one app that our parents use, Instagram?
Oh, man.
I did want to kind of talk about the Hamill quick hook.
Oh, yeah.
Incident. And he was obviously upset about it, and I don't blame him for that. But, you know, in hindsight, it actually looked like the right call for Joe, because then Zestrizny comes in and throws 3 2/3 and only gave up one hit. So, and Madden kind of commented later that he just didn't see Hamill correcting it. Like, he just didn't think he looked like he could turn it around and just went with his gut and turned out to be the right call, as Madden tends to do. I mean, had it gone the other way, maybe we'd pick on Madden for a little bit, but for the most part, kind of move on. But
I can kind of see it both ways. I think, I mean, that was not just a short leash with Hamill. Like, that was like,
he'd given up three runs, so it wasn't like a seven run
right outburst. Yeah, and I think Hamill had mentioned that he felt like there was only like two solid hits that he had given up, and wasn't it last year about this time that Madden had a quick hook with Hamill and Hamill was upset about it? I mean, this very same thing happened last year.
It did, but it was more like Hamill was not performing as well as he is here in the second half, although he had a rough start last time out. But
I think, you know, and I'm not one to question Madden or anything. He knows more than I do, But I think I kind of would have preferred him to leave Hamill in there. I mean, this is not... You want to win every game, especially when you're playing against a team that you could face in the playoffs. And remember last year, you know, Madden kind of approached almost every game in the second half of the season like it was a playoff game. And I kind of felt like he did that in that game by pulling Hamill that quickly. And with the lead that the Cubs have in the division, I don't really think that it necessarily needed to be managed like a playoff game. And I don't think... I mean, it seems like let Hamill kind of try to work his way out of it. And if he's not, then, you know, go ahead and pull him. I don't know. I kind of would have preferred, I think, to see him leave Hamill in there. If nothing else, I mean, just for like, I mean, there's really no reason when you're 14 games up or whatever, is there really any reason to like piss off one of your starters? I don't think so.
Especially when he sees it as like, this is my audition kind of to determine my role in the postseason. You know, right. I mean, this and the in games going forward are my opportunity to prove that I can really contribute to this team in the postseason. And then to have the plug, I can really see Hamill's point of view.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that could really piss Hamill off is that he's got a 200 inning clause and his contract, and he's not going to get to 200. He's only at, I think, 140 right now. So it's not going to happen. But when you have these contract clauses built in, that I think at 200 innings, he gets a bonus of, I couldn't tell you how much, but it's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he starts to feel like he's being held from that, which again, it's kind of off the table, but
right,
those things can start to mix or blur the lines between baseball and front office type dealings, and I, you know, players can get a little touchy about that kind of stuff.
Right, and I don't think Madden considers that. I think he wants to make the best decisions, but it's just another thing that can lead to acrimony and conflict in the clubhouse when Hamill has that to worry about, but Madden has the game to worry about and making the best decisions. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a natural route to a conflict.
Yeah, yep. And I can see it both ways. I just think if I was Madden, I probably would have just stuck with Hamill and let him go for it. But
that being said, the bullpen pitched really well Hamill came out of the game. That's worth noting. So, I mean, it did appear to be a good decision. The Cubs offense just didn't come through, you know, to actually win the game. But the pitching sure did their part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just to clarify what that option is, if he hit 200 innings, his option would be mutual in 2017, which essentially would allow him to elect for free agency. So, yeah, the money adds up.
Right. Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, and this doesn't have to do with the Dodgers series, but we kind of talked about the rosters expanding here in the next week or so. Actually, real quick here, the next, 4 days or so. We talked about Almora coming back, and Andy, you had mentioned that Almora was injured, and he's actually back off of the DL now.
Yeah, he's been playing for Iowa.
Yeah. So I really would like to see him join this team in September, and really pretty as soon as the rosters expand, because I like what he brings to this team.
Right.
And
a killer defensive replacement for Madden to have available in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I don't know if I don't really think Almora, I don't know if he would be on that playoff roster, but I think I think that's what September is going to be. Is just kind of seeing who deserves to be on that roster, who's playing well, who isn't, and I think that's really kind of the focus of September right now, and so that's why I'd like to see Almora get the opportunity, get the call, and then I'd like to see the Cubs use him. And you know, using him gives Fowler a day off, gives some of these guys some rest. I mean, that's really what I would like to see them do with the roster expansion is just, and Madden has talked about, just today I saw on Twitter that he talked about going to a six-man rotation just to, you know, give some extra rest days and stuff to the pitchers, because there's only, I think they only have two more off days for the rest of the season. So that's what I kind of see September being right now.
Yeah, and they can afford to do it, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's not like they're like trying to scratch out every single win they possibly can. And so, you know, they have the luxury of being able to kind of give their starters a little bit of a breather.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, this is probably a good transition to what I was going to have as my scary stat, and that they have that luxury, and they also, it seems like they've got a couple of guys who they can stretch out in Cahill and Montgomery, and they've done that, and they've both been really great. And in the last few bullpen starts, they've had to do that. And the first one, Cahill pitched 5, gave up 2 hits, no runs. And the next one, Montgomery pitched 4 1/3, gave up 1 hit, 1 run. And then Cahill followed him up, got the win in that game, 4.2, gave up 4 hits and 1 run. And then in the last one, not quite as stellar, where Montgomery pitched 5 and gave up 6 hits and 3 runs. So that's 18 innings total out of those two, giving up 13 hits and just 5 runs allowed. And all three of those games resulted in a win for the Cubs. So
right, if you can go 3-0 on your bullpen day, it says a lot about your offense, but it also says a lot about your bullpen.
And I think it's kind of, you know, starting the chatter about what Montgomery could be in the future. It's hard to think about next year now, or not hard to, but not something we really want to dwell on. But Montgomery could be a piece that could compete for that number 5 spot, and he's controlled, and you know, he could be that guy that kind of rounds out the back end of the rotation.
Yeah. Yep. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes? I don't.
I have one.
Okay. I don't have one this week.
I don't either.
Okay. Well, cool. I'll read mine then. And this comes by way of Beth, my wife. So she texted this one to me. And it's pretty great.
Well, the expectations are high because her last one was Beethoven better. So if Beth comes in with one, I'm expecting it to really knock my socks off.
Oh, man, no pressure. All right. So apparently, okay, so Ryan Sandberg has been kind of learning Instagram. I don't know. you guys follow Ryan Sandberg on Instagram?
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff.
All right, this is a perfect example of what you said earlier. Grandpa and grandma are using Instagram.
So Ryan Sandberg, his handle is Ryan Sandberg 23. It's imaginative, but it makes sense.
Right, he was a big Jordan fan.
But he posted this. Yeah, he's a huge LeBron James fan. So he Instagrammed a photo of, I think it's he and his wife holding his granddaughter, Brooklyn. And so his caption for this photo, it's a picture of him with granddaughter and his wife with granddaughter, like side by side. And it says special moments with G daughter Brooklyn, and then hashtag headband. So his hashtag he decides to go with his headband. She's wearing a headband. And so like, if anybody wants to see pictures with headbands, they might somehow stumble across Ryan Sandberg's granddaughter.
Hashtag hashtag headband. Hashtag watch.
But and then he posted some emojis of flowers and stuff. But then, like, most of the comments were people like saying, "Hey, congratulations on your beautiful granddaughter." Blah blah blah. But then here's one commenter says, "Congrats, Rhino. Still waiting on you to come to South Bend so I can make you that ultimate BLT." Let me take this opportunity to get you into my tavern, get you that BLT I was talking about. Beautiful headband on your granddaughter, though, by the way.
Oh man!
It takes a true artist to make a BLT. So I bet that guy's got the best recipe in town.
It's true.
So good.
You know, he's also
three ingredients, and I have the best. Right.
Also a headband fan, which might, not that many people might know.
And you know that dude's probably been pestering Sandberg to go there for a BLT for like 17 years.
I mean, you're going to love it. The tomato, I cut it a little extra nice and thick for you.
Turns to his wife and he's like, the BLT guy's back. He found me on Instagram.
Yeah, the other guy, he goes to bed at night. Well, Instagrammed another comment to Rhino about our BLT. We'll see.
This could be the one.
Still waiting.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode. And you can thank all of our Patreon supporters for help making this possible. As I said, that piece of equipment went out last week, the replacement, made it easier for me to do this episode. Although, like I said, I haven't figured it out totally, so the sound quality is probably a little bit subpar compared to usual. So, this allows me to be able to do these episodes easier when I'm on the road, which I will be more this year. The equipment was purchased with Patreon support. So if you like what we're doing here, you can help us keep things going and improving by pledging on Patreon. The pledging levels start at just $1 a month. And if you would buy one of us a beer at a ball game, then that's about a year's worth of Patreon support at the $1 a month level. It helps us pay for all of our services and programs to produce this podcast, and it helps us with our live events. So if you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So the Cubs come back to Wrigley to take on the Pirates in a series that starts on Monday, and we will be back on Wednesday night to talk about that series and anything else that happens with the Cubs. And until then, go Cubs!